give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, episode 41. And I'm going solo today. Han or Hope? No one really cares about the guy. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 41, recorded on January 18, 2016, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and Rary.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. And if you've never heard this podcast before, most of you guys know that I'm an NBA online writer slash blogger, but I also like to talk about other topics like anime, video games, wrestling, social issues, or whatever's hot on the news. Basically, I like to talk about the fundamentals of life, but definitely expect tons of NBA talk from me. For example, in this episode, I have Alex Kennedy of Basketball Insiders. We're definitely going to talk basketball, but we also talked about the wild NFL divisional playoffs that occurred last week. That's because I'm versatile and very fundamental. Before we get to the talk with Alex, I just want to let you know that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at Stitcher and RayRay.net. This show is also being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. You can follow both Twitter accounts, the podcast is at Rary is Fun, and my personal account is at The No Look Pass. And don't forget, visit my NBA site at TheNoLookPass.com, and that's all I got. Let's listen to Alex Kennedy school me in NBA stuffs. Scratch!
Rary is Fundamental Podcast, episode 41. My guest this week, young, outstanding reporter, co-founder of BasketballInsiders.com, Alex Kennedy. What is up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, how are you doing? MLK, lots of games going on? Busy, busy?
Yeah, it is busy. It's a good day. You know, a lot of basketball, like you said. I've been editing most of the day, to be completely honest with you. So, I'm just reading a ton of articles. We have a bunch of stuff on Basketball Insiders right now. We have a new podcast. So I've been pretty busy all day long, but it's been a good day. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just you know, relaxing, watching basketball, and, you know, wondering about Kevin Durant, really, because Kevin Durant has this somehow this feud against the media. I don't know if it's make-believe or motivation or whatever, but what do you think? Like, he seems so angry the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, he really does, and it's kind of strange. Because early in his career, he was someone that I always enjoyed talking to. He was extremely accessible. You know, you could go to him right before games and get a one-on-one interview with him, and that was pretty rare for a star player. But he was just always someone that was very media-friendly. And then at some point there, it changed. I'm not sure if it's because he started getting criticized or if it's because people started breaking down the Durant-Westbrook dynamic and maybe getting some things wrong. Or people started asking about his free agency, because I know that can get annoying. But at some point there, he got frustrated, and we've seen that. And now, multiple times now, he's kind of lashed out at the media. He made, you know, some comments at the All-Star game. I want to say it was 2 years ago about the media. Then obviously he made the comments recently. And there was a great piece on Grantland about just the Thunder and how some of their players have kind of turned against the media a while back, that Brian Curtis wrote, and it talked about Westbrook and Durant both kind of feeling that way about the media. And look, Westbrook has always been like that. Westbrook from day one has been difficult, and I understand why. It's because from day one, you know, the media has doubted him and criticized him. People didn't think he should have been drafted as high as he was. People didn't think he could be a traditional point guard. People at UCLA criticized him. You know, he's dealt with criticism and doubt, you know, his entire career. So guys like that, I kind of understand a little bit more why they are hesitant in the media. The Durant thing is strange because, like you said, it's almost like it's just these recent years and something switched. It's like a switch flipped. And now all of a sudden he seems to hate the media. And it's interesting. It's kind of unfortunate because, like I said, he used to be one of my favorite interviews. Now he can be pretty difficult.
People say that he's defending Russell Westbrook, but also in the last couple of years, the media has been praising Russell Westbrook, especially the season that he had last year. So, do you think that's the reason, even though it's late?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, people aren't really as negative about Westbrook anymore. You know, everyone used to criticize him and his shot selection and that, you know, he can't coexist with Durant and all these things. But now, you know, I think people are finally giving Westbrook his due, his credit. You know, he really is talked about as an MVP candidate and one of the best players in the NBA. I'm not sure if like you said, it may be a late reaction to everything that happened in the past because, you know, he may have just got fed up with all of that. Or like I said, it may be the free agency question. I know players can get really annoyed whenever they're constantly asked the same questions. And certainly with Durant, free agency has been a huge topic for the last, 2 years almost. That's kind of what the NBA has become. As a guy approaching unofficial free agency, we tend to ask them about it over and over again. And I know that, you know, if you're an NBA player, if you're a star like Durant approaching free agency, you're going to get asked about it when you go on the road because every city wants to know your reaction about their city. LeBron James, when he was approaching free agency, right before he went to Miami, he had a meltdown. I remember being in Orlando in the locker room, and he just, you know, kind of broke down and got mad at reporters and said, I'm not talking about free agency anymore. It's not respectful to my teammates. I don't want to talk about it. And then someone tried to get a last question about free agency, and he just, flipped out and ended the interview and just walked away. He was angry. So that can, I think that process can do that to a player too. So I do think that, it may not just be one thing. It may be a collection of things. Maybe it's the Westbrook stuff. Maybe it's free agency. Maybe it's just, being criticized. Maybe it's some of the content that came out when he was injured. It could be a question of all of that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Durant says the media is not giving enough credit to the Thunder. But can you blame the media? The Warriors and Spurs are having historical seasons, and no one can really go against the Cavs in the East. Do you think it's that?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are giving the Thunder plenty of credit. They have 30 wins right now. Whenever I hear people talk about the Western Conference, yes, they are talking about the Warriors, but I think everyone understands that the Spurs and the Thunder are right up there and are very good teams. You know, if you ask me right now, the Western Conference, who are the top-tier teams, I would say Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. I think after Oklahoma City, that's where there's a bit of a drop-off because then you start to get to the Clippers and the Grizzlies and the Mavericks and some teams that have issues and are, below 30 wins. So I think that the top four teams in the NBA, I think it's pretty clear that it is Golden State, San Antonio, OKC, and Cleveland. So I'm not sure where he gets that. It may be a us against the world kind of thing. I know a lot of players like to act like they're not getting any credit and that everyone's doubting them. And look, that works for some teams. It fuels them. It gives them bulletin board material. It allows the locker room to kind of unite and get upset over a common cause. So maybe that's it. There have been plenty of coaches who have used that technique. The best teams can say, oh, no, everyone's doubted us. No one thought we'd be here. It may be that. Or it may just be him tired of talking about the Warriors and the Cavaliers. But like you said, those teams have been dominant. Last year, everyone's going to talk about Cleveland because they were the new super team. Everyone expected them to be a dynasty. And, that whenever you put multiple stars together, there's going to be a lot of coverage, especially if it involves LeBron James. And this year, with the Warriors' start, of course they're going to talk about the Warriors. So, like you said, that coverage is going to come. But I think the coverage of the Thunder has been pretty fair. I think that, we've heard a lot of credit given to them, there could be it could be a lot worse, especially with the first-year head coach and especially, with the way that a few of these teams have been playing. But I think it's been pretty fair.
What about the Clippers? They just won 10 straight. They just lost the Sacramento Kings. But is it reputation, or are they just not that good compared to the three top teams in the West?
Well, no, I think that they just have more issues. I like the Clippers. I think it was last year that going into the season, I actually picked them to win the championship. So I've been on the Clippers bandwagon for a while now. I think that they're a very talented team. I think that they have, multiple MVP candidates when you talk about Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Obviously not this year because Steph Curry's kind of blown everyone out of the water.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Pauling and Griffin are just such special players. Getting DeAndre Jordan back was huge for them. And then I thought that this summer was going to be, you know, really the summer that helped them a lot, because their problem last year was depth. In the playoffs, they were basically relying on Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers to get hot and have a good game. And if that didn't happen, then they needed their star players to just have monster performances. So being able to go out this summer and add a ton of depth, add Paul Pierce and Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith and all these guys, I thought that was huge for them. Well, it kind of was strange, because now, you know, even though they added those guys, they still have issues with depth, and some of those guys haven't worked out. So I give them a lot of credit for just winning 10 straight games, for going on that streak. That was huge for them, because it did turn their season around. It's kind of strange that it happened when Blake Griffin was injured, and I'm curious to see how they can kind of bounce back and play whenever, you know, they have everyone healthy. Because, you know, that can kind of cause some tension in locker room sometimes too, whenever, you know, you go on a win streak and you try to reintroduce new players and things like that. So I'm curious to see how they play when everyone's completely healthy. But look, I still think this is a very talented team. I like I said, I do think that the top three teams in the West are the Warriors, Spurs, and Thunder, but the Clippers are very good too. The Western Conference is just so crazy that, you know, there are very talented teams out there. You can imagine, you know, the Clippers, the Grizzlies, the Mavericks. You can imagine those teams getting hot at the right time and making a deep playoff run. But just in terms of teams that I think have the most likely chance of coming out of the West and going to the finals, I would say it's those top three, and then the Clippers are that next tier.
Mm-hmm. Joakim Noah is going to have surgery on his shoulder soon. He's supposed to be out 4 to 6 months. Is this the end of his tenure with the Chicago Bulls?
It's possible. You know, there have been talks that he was kind of upset with the direction the team was headed in, that, you know, obviously he was someone that was really supportive of Tom Thibodeau, so I think going with the new head coach kind of upset him. And then, you know, there were some reports that there was some tension in the locker room and things like that, that, you know, the locker room was a bit divided because, you know, first of all, everyone talks about Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler not really getting along. You know, there was reports that Derrick Rose's camp was kind of annoyed with Jimmy Butler, and that, you know, there had been some issues there with Jimmy Butler becoming the new star, that Rose was unhappy and things like that. But I think that, you know, what happened in the Bulls locker room was there were a lot of cliques, and I think that players kind of took sides, and you know, you've seen that in some of the interviews. I think Casey Johnson did a terrific job kind of breaking down, you know, who supports who, because whenever Jimmy Butler came out and made those comments about Fred Hoiberg, you had Pau Gasol immediately step in and defend him. And then you had Joakim Noah say, I don't think we should be making those comments publicly and airing our dirty laundry and things like that. So it almost seems like there is two sides in the Bulls locker room. You know, guys that support Jimmy Butler, guys that and Fred Hoiberg, guys that support Derrick Rose and Tom Thibodeau. And I think they need to get past that if they want to be, you know, a contender and maximize their full potential. So it's interesting. But to answer your question, I do think he could move on, you know, if there's an issue in the locker room or if he's upset with the direction the team is moving in. He's obviously unrestricted this summer. He could walk and go to a different team. And I think there's going to be multiple teams out there that want to bring him in. Even though he hasn't been the same player, he's been, you know, injured, and his body's been breaking down for a while now. He hasn't been as effective. I do think that teams look at him as a very good defender still, a versatile big man. There's certainly going to be a list of teams that want to bring him in this summer. So he could be back. A lot of people thought they would trade one of their big men to kind of clear that logjam up, but now with the injury, it seems like free agency could actually be the way that they clear out that logjam they have there.
Can Noah still make that impact for another team if he moves on?
Yeah, I think so. I think he can make an impact. I think that he's a guy that is a leader in the locker room. You know, obviously, like I just said, he has to be completely bought in, and he has to really believe in the head coach and the system and all that. But, you know, for a long time, he was talked about as the heart and soul of that Bulls team. I think he was kind of an extension of Tom Thibodeau, and I think that was important to have in the locker room. You know, when you're respected the way he is, and when you know, you've had the success that he's had, then players are going to respect you. You know, I think young players will listen to him and buy into what he has to say. he's someone that's very intense and leads by example, and I think that's a good thing to have. You know, if he goes to a young team, for example, let's say, there's going to be a lot of young guys that learn, okay, we need to work just like Noah, we need to be as intense as Noah, we need to carry ourselves that way. I think that's a good thing to have in the locker room. And I think if he goes to a veteran team, he could be a contributor. It just has to be the right situation. I don't think he's going to be, you know, the guy that, you know, we saw a few years ago when he was, you know, being mentioned in MVP voting and he was Defensive Player of the Year, but he doesn't necessarily have to be that guy to contribute. I think he can still contribute at a lesser level and still be effective and help a team.
We'll be right back with the finish of this interview with Alex Kennedy of Basketball Insiders.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Well, all right. Yeah. You know, ever since I turned pro in 1989, when I signed the dotted line, it was strange. Well, things changed for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby,
must be the money.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Last possible question. NBA All-Star voting, which gets a lot of people upset for some reason. But, does that need changing? Should, like, more than just the fans get involved in the voting and everything? Like, say, like, I don't know, the Pro Bowl's probably a poor example, but, like, They get into media and coaches and the front office involved for voting. Should the NBA do something like that, or should you just keep it the way it is?
Well, I think they should keep it the way it is. You know, at the end of the day, what it's about is making the fans happy. And it's about, you know, the fans getting to see their favorite players on, you know, in the All-Star game and in that kind of competition and that kind of atmosphere. So I don't have any problem with it. And honestly, I think it's okay. I know a lot of people disagree. I know a lot of people feel like they should change it. And I know players have gotten frustrated too. And players have told me that they want to be able to determine the All-Stars and things like that. And I get that, because when you're a player, there's a lot riding on that actually. You know, there's, contract incentives and endorsement deals and reputation that really relies on that. So putting it in the fans' hands, I understand why they're frustrated. I like the system now that the coaches get to select the reserves. I think that's a very good system. If we had the fans selecting all of the players, I think that would be a problem. But I think letting the fans select the starters and having the coaches select the reserves is good. The only tweak I would make is maybe allowing the players to have some kind of vote toward the reserves. I think that could be a step in the right direction. Because look, like I said, it is serious for some guys. It can be the difference between making, you know, maximum money. You know, we've seen that with that new Derrick Rose rule, all-star selections, are factored into your contract and how much your maximum contract is worth. So, that's why you see, you know, whenever a player doesn't get selected, like a Damian Lillard last year before he got added in, you know, by injury replacement, he was very mad and he posted on Instagram. And everyone kind of mocked him, but I completely understood where he was coming from, because that's a lot of money on the line. He was about to enter a free agency enter extension talks, so he needed that all-star selection to make a lot more money. And I think anyone would get mad if you're, you know, if you're in a situation where you're going to lose millions and millions of dollars. People didn't view it that way, though. But I think that, you know, the system right now is okay. If anything, if I had to tweak it, I would, like I said, just add a player vote component to the reserves.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last weekend we had the NFL divisional playoffs, and wow, was that Aaron Rodgers' fadeaway Hail Mary throw the best you've ever seen in the playoffs? Like, my goodness, like, that
was
incredible.
It was insane. I was sitting there watching it live, and, you know, I had no rooting interest. I'm a Bucs fan, as I was talking to you earlier about. So I haven't had playoff football to be excited about in a while, but I just wanted a close game. So to see him do that was insane. I was amazed by that throw. I think that, you know, the fact that he got hit too, he took a hit. He, you know, was scrambling. I think he threw that pass better than most quarterbacks could have thrown if they weren't under pressure and they were completely set. And that's how good Aaron Rodgers is. He's just phenomenal. It kind of sucked that, you know, right after that, you had, you know, the Larry Fitzgerald play that kind of, switched the momentum completely the other way. You know, the Packers had all this momentum. Everyone's excited. It seemed like we were going to get a long overtime game. And then immediately Arizona's able to, you know, pass to Larry Fitzgerald and get, I don't know what it was, 70 something yards and score. So, the game ended rather quickly after that, but, no, that was a terrific play. And you know, he had other throws that game that were just fantastic. Aaron Rodgers is a special quarterback. I mean, if he's on your team, you feel like you have a shot at winning a Super Bowl every single year. He's that good.
Yeah. Although, too bad it only took like a minute and 5 seconds to erase that Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers. Who you got going for the Super Bowl?
Honestly, right now, I'm looking at New England, and it's so tough between Arizona and Carolina. I want to say Arizona. I just think they're more well-rounded. I like Carolina a lot. You know, I'm a Cam Newton fan. I know he's kind of polarizing for some reason, just because he dances and things like that. It's crazy to me that people hate Cam Newton, but I'm a fan of him. You know, I actually have some family in North Carolina, so I have kind of been rooting for them as a secondary team to go, you know, win it all. But I just think this Arizona team is so good. That defense is very scary, and I think this is where Carolina, the fact that they don't have, you know, very good receivers could really hurt them. If Kelvin Benjamin were out there, you know, I would think they had a better shot. But, you know, without having many weapons, it kind of worries me. I'm not sure Cam can do everything on his own against that Arizona defense. And then I look at the Cardinals, and they're very well-rounded. They're good offensively and defensively. So I'm going to say the Cardinals. And then, you know, with New England, obviously they're banged up. But I just don't know about this Broncos team. I think their defense is very good, but I have a lot of questions about their offense and about Peyton Manning. So right now, I would say Arizona over New England. That's probably my Super Bowl prediction right now. How about you? I'm curious what your thoughts are. Who do you have?
Oh, man, it's always hard to go against the Patriots. They're kind of like the Spurs of the NFL. You know, like, I just can't pick against them. And no matter what situation it is, whether Brady has no receivers or when they have a complete team, and I just can't trust the Broncos offense, like you mentioned. And I'm going to go with Carolina on the other side. For some reason, they seem to put up, like, big points early. And I think they did that with the Giants early in the season. They did that with the Seahawks last weekend. So I'm going to go with New England over Carolina. And it'll probably be the most watched Super Bowl ever, too, because, you know, Tom Brady and everybody wants to see Cam Newton lose for some reason. So
It wouldn't surprise me if Carolina did win. I think Josh Norman is amazing when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. He's so good. So, I mean, that's where I think, you know, as much as I think Cam Newton is alone on the offensive end, they have so many great defenders. And that's why I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be so hard to pick that Arizona-Carolina game. But I think we're in for a three. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it really will be. And you're a Bucs fan, and I'm a Niners fan, so good grief. When are our teams ever going to get to the playoffs, ever?
hopefully we can turn things around. Like I said to you earlier, because there's new head coaches, you know, this is supposed to be a time that we're optimistic and hopeful. It's hard to be that way as a Bucs fan, though, when you've had multiple coaches now. You know, we're paying three coaches this next season. We're going to be paying Dirk Cutter, Lovie Smith, and Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
We had the Raheem Morris embarrassment a few years ago. So there have been a lot of coaches that have come in and given me hope and have just drifted away. So it's hard to get really excited. But I do think with the Bucks, you know, being in Tampa here, everyone's really excited about Jameis Winston. I think we saw in his rookie year that he can be a very special quarterback. You know, there were obviously some mistakes, and, you know, at times he was kind of a gunslinger, reckless, and made some rookie decisions. But, you know, passing for 4,000 yards and, you know, making his receivers better. By the end of the year, with all the injuries that they had, you know, he was throwing to a bunch of undrafted guys and Mike Evans. You know, Vincent Jackson was out. Lewis Murphy was out. So, really, it was kind of amazing at the end of the year. He was making guys like Russell Shepard and Adam Humphries and Dante Day, all these guys you'd never even heard of, look good, and he was still putting up numbers. So I'm optimistic about the Bucs offense, and I think the fact that, you know, they got rid of Lovie Smith, I think that's the right move. Lovie wasn't really getting it done on defense, and that's what he's known for. And then certainly on offense, you know, he was kind of turning things over to Dirk Koetter. So the fact that they just promoted Koetter, he's going to basically handle the offense. And then they brought in Mike Smith, the former Falcons coach, who has been very good defensively. I think, you know, there's definitely optimism in Tampa here. People think the Bucs can turn things around pretty quickly if they can make the right moves and if Jameis can develop. I'm excited to see what your Niners do, to be completely honest. You know, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, it's kind of strange because, you know, you went from a few years ago people talking about him being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to him completely just falling off. But if there's someone that can use him correctly, it would be Chip Kelly. And there were reports that you know, Chip Kelly, no matter where he went, he wanted to land Colin Kaepernick some way. He wanted to trade for him or he wanted to pick him up. So, you know, he got his wish. He gets to work with Kaepernick. And, you know, hopefully this stint goes better than his stint in Philadelphia. But I'm curious to see what he can do out there, to be honest. You know, there's definitely intrigue whenever Chip Kelly comes to town. So, you know, you have that to look forward to.
Yeah. But at least the Bucs have won a Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers. Can you believe that?
That was the 1 year. You know, it's been a lot of suffering as a Bucs fan, except for that 1 year. But no, I'll never forget that. That was an incredible year. I think I was in like seventh grade. I just went nuts. I remember actually, I went outside and I blew off fireworks with my friends and just went like and just lost it. And everyone in Tampa was going crazy. You know, those guys could do no wrong. They were just superstars. And you know, in Tampa, everyone loved them. I went to the parade. You know, I went to the NFL Experience thing. They had the Super Bowl. You know, I was. That year was huge. I was so excited.
They beat the Niners on the way too. Like they thrashed the Niners. I remember that. Like it wasn't even close. You know.
And then beating Philly. And then beating Philly was just so sweet because you know at the time they were talked about as our rivals and there was a lot of trash talk going on and they were kind of the underdog. They were the underdog that year for much of the year because you know Brad Johnson was their quarterback. So when you have Brad Johnson at quarterback, no one thinks you're going to win anything. And then beating the Eagles and then going and beating just. Destroying the Raiders was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone thought that would be a close Super Bowl just because the Raiders were, I want to say, the number one offense in the NFL and the Bucs were the number one defense. So, you know, everyone thought there would be this great showdown. And then you just had the Bucs just, you know, light up Oakland. I think the fact that John Gruden had, you know, just left Oakland kind of helped. He knew a lot about their team, their situation. But, no, that was a great year. It's been a lot of losing and bad decisions ever since then. So hopefully we can get back to that.
Yeah, same for the Niners. Even though, man, it feels like forever when the Niners went to the Super Bowl. Like, was it like, what, 3 years ago maybe? Like, that was just a short time ago, and suddenly they've fallen off. So
hopefully
they can go from there. Last question. Sorry for keeping you for so long. But you're still a young guy in the business. You're what, 24, right?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, so you've been at this since you were what, 16? I think you mentioned that like in my last podcast for the NOLA Pass. But what advice you want to give to younger guys, in making in this business? Because you went through a lot when you were young. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot of comments. Like, oh, he's too young. He doesn't know enough about basketball, blah, blah, blah. But you're here now. You know, you own BasketballInsiders.com. You're 24 years old. You're on top of the world. What you got?
Well, thank you. First of all, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you. Basically, I would just tell people, you know, don't be afraid of hearing the word no. Go try to get credentials to events and try to get in the building. Whenever I was 14, I covered my first Magic game, and I didn't get my first paying job till I was 17 years old, and that was with Hoops World, which became Basketball Insiders. But no, I was basically doing it for free. I wanted to see if it was something that, you know, I enjoyed, and at the time, too, I was a huge basketball fan, so just being able to go cover games in itself, you know, thinking about, you know, going to a game for free at the time was just so awesome to me. So I was 14. I, you know, emailed the Magic PR department and I asked them if I could cover a game. And at the time, I was writing for a few different websites, doing freelance work, and you know, it wasn't interview type stuff. It was just providing analysis and things like that. So my advice to guys would just be,
write as much as possible, and try to go cover games. You know, email, you know, your favorite team's PR department, go cover college basketball, do whatever you can to gain experience and get your foot in the door. It's interesting. In recent years, I remember when I was, you know, younger, I was the only young guy in the locker room, and that kind of freaked me out. You're there with a bunch of, older guys, and, you know, yeah. They're all experienced, and they know what they're doing. Now, because of, you know, blogs and places like SB Nation and True Hoop and, you know, places like that, there are so many young guys, and it's awesome to see, because you go in the locker room and you just see a ton of young guys that are gaining experience. And I always do try to, you know, talk to those guys and help them and, you know, give them advice if they ask for it. So it is awesome to see more young guys getting that opportunity. But I would just say go write as much as possible, build up your portfolio, your resume, gain experience. And like I said, you know, ask your PR department, your local PR department, if you can cover a game or a practice or a shoot around. At the very worst, they're going to say no. And that's not the end of the world. You know, you might as well ask. So that's what I always tell people.
The website is basketballinsiders.com. His Twitter is AlexKennedyNBA. And if you can't spell that, I don't know what to do with you. Alex Kennedy, you are one of a kind. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Mommy's got some things for Daddy to do.
Molded.